أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد الحمد لله by Allah Ta'ala's fadl we reached this first mubarak night of Ramadan already the first tarawih is gone. And just like that, things one after the other, time passes by like beads in a sibha. You don't get to go back and do it again. Alhamdulillah for those of us who had the tawfiq to spend it in prayer. But like that, none of it is going to be permanent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make use of it. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. I feel a special barakah in this place. Not necessarily because of the place, but because those who gathered here gathered with a niyyah of hearing the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every verse has a story behind it, behind its revelation, behind its implementation, connected with the athar, connected with the history of Islam, and connected with us personally as well. And for those of us who don't have those stories yet, inshallah, read and listen to its recitation, and it will become manifest to you in your life as well as part of your right as a Muslim to have some connection with these things. I wanted to this year, at least for now, shift the focus in our talks, which have in Ramadan been mainly about the both theoretical and practical aspects of the lives of the mashayikh and the teachings of the mashayikh with regards to tasawwuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا, that those who strive in our way, we will show them the paths to us. And two things come to mind with this verse. One is that there's more than one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who, knowledge doesn't work for them, let them busy themselves with dhikr. Or the person who dhikr doesn't work for them, let them busy themselves with service. The person who service doesn't work for them, let them busy themselves in dua. The person dua doesn't work for them, let them give charitably or be nice to other people or do whatever it is from the past to the past that a person gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't have to be a sheikh. Sometimes I feel like in tasawwuf there's kind of a fetishization of being a sheikh, of having khilafah or whatever. And like we mentioned before, the sheikh is like, he's like a doctor, but the doctor is not necessarily always the person who has the best health in the hospital. Sometimes very skilled and talented doctors, you might even see them standing outside smoking a cigarette afterward. These things, they happen. The point is also, as a person passing by, it's not to say, oh, look, the doctor's smoking, so I should smoke too. It's also not to be like, oh, look, the doctor's smoking, what a horrible person, we should like kill him. The point is what you take the ibrah and you benefit your own health. So to move off from that and to recognize that there are so many different paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to recognize that we live in a circumstance that seems a little bit different than last year. Although I actually think it was the same, but we're more aware of it now, which is that, the nakedness of the conspiracy of batil and of kufr and of kufar and munafiqeen in order to literally bloodlet the Muslims, to kill them. I don't even want to call it genocide because Muslims are not a race. Although there is an element of genocide to it because of the Arabs, their connection with Islam and to Muslims. It's so odious to some of the kuffar that they're actually willing to kill their own people, their own co-religionists in order to get at the Muslims. It's really weird that way. But the point is the nakedness of the entire scam is up in our face in a way that you can't ignore. So we always knew that the news, like, would lie, but we didn't realize, like, wow, they, like, really, like, everything they say is a lie all the time. We always knew politicians were bought and sold, but it was, like, at least they did some type of job trying to hide it, and we were a little bit more naive to it. All of it is so naked now, and all it does is return us to one of the most basic teachings of Islam, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us a long time ago, regardless of whether we are aware of it or not, which is that it is the prophetic imperative that people should strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Literally, the people who make jihad in our path. And the word jihad means what? To struggle. Those who struggle in our path, we will struggle for to, you know, in us, literally. We will guide them to our paths. So I wanted to give some time to read about the stories and the lives of the Mujahideen fi sabilillah from the different eras of Islam all the way up until the contemporary era, as well as a look at some of the more theoretical discussions with regards to the nature of Mujahada. Mujahada is one of the first abwab of Riyadhus Salihin. Mujahada is a very essential part of a person's spiritual development. Without mujahada, nothing works. It's like a person who got a gym membership, protein powder, pre-workout, post-workout, during workout, you know, got their TRT injections, all the big steroids that the crazy jack dudes use. They bought the weight set, they bought the gear, they got the Instagram account, everything, they did everything, but they're just not going to work out. And sadly, this type of mujahada-free deen, which is exactly the archetype of the Nasara, is being marketed and sold to Muslims, and sometimes by Muslims to Muslims. And, Allah Ta'ala says in His book, right, that the Yahud say that the Nasara are really, they have nothing. And the Nasara, they say that the Yahud, they really have nothing. And Allah Ta'ala says, tilka amaniyuhum. These are their amani. Amani is the plural of the word in Arabic, umniya. And umniya is a vain desire, meaning it's like one of those things, like, I hope it snows today. Did it say in the weather report it's going to snow? Is it even the season in which it snows? Is it even a place where it snows? Just because there's a rational possibility, Allah Ta'ala can make it snow if He wants. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is that there's no otherwise, like within the system, there's no reason to believe that it's even a possibility. And whether it snows or not, that's not really in our control. I mean, it might snow, and even that's not in our control. It doesn't snow, it's not in our control. But so many things that are in your control, to desire them without having done anything to prepare, this is mentioned by so many of the mashayikh as being like a sin worse than what a person thinks their sins are. And a breach of adab with Allah Ta'ala worse than what many sins are. Because you're expecting Allah Ta'ala to do your part of the bargain, basically, and you don't want to actually sacrifice anything. You want to say that I love Allah Ta'ala, and then Allah Ta'ala, you can do anything, right? Can you just love yourself on my behalf? Which is it's a bad thing. It's a really gross breach of adab with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's why we have, for example, awrad. A person does dhikr in the day. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need you to make dhikr. Allah Ta'ala, it's not like He gets rich or gets a commission off of your dhikr or whatever. You just need to, it's good for you to do something to show. Like when you're asked, did you do anything? You can say, yes, I did X, Y, Z. Was it enough? No. Was it what Allah deserved? No. Could you have done it better? Yeah. But at least you have something to point to so that the whole cycle of excuses in your favor can execute. Rather than that umniyah. That the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the intelligent, the witty, or the clever person is the one who lowers himself and works for what's after death, and the idiot is the one who does whatever they want. They follow their desires, and then they yatamanna ala Allah al-amani. That person just has these kind of vain and empty desires. So your mujahada is what kind of gets you on the road to shifting from being a completely blank and vain desire, empty desire, to something that's still a long shot. It still requires Allah's help to get there. You still have no chance whatsoever, except for if Allah chooses to make it happen for you. But you at least are at least you can say you tried something. And people are so afraid of mujahada, and they hate it so much. And nobody likes going through difficulty. Nobody likes going through hardship. But subhanAllah, look at that. You know, there's so much good that comes with mujahada, with struggle. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. There is possible that you hate a thing and Allah puts a lot of good in it. And it's possible for you to hate a thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's possible for you to hate a thing and it's really good for you. And so that's what mujahada is. So my advice to myself, my reminder to myself, because you forget these things literally from minute to minute. You get pumped up. Some like big, highly spiritual, pumped up Molana pumps you up, and you're like, mashallah, mashallah, Sufi Hans and Franz pumped you up, and you're feeling the pump. And then minute to minute, it gets cold, and you're like, wow, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It happens to everybody. It happened to the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the hadith of Nafaqa Hanzala. It happens to everybody. So you have to keep reminding yourselves. We have to remind ourselves and remind one another time to time. But at least make this ahad, make this pledge, the few and the proud, that when you receive the reminder, even though your body will forget, even your heart will forget, but your mind doesn't forget that this is a thing, that the mujahad is actually good for you. That let your mind force and drag the rest of you into at least accepting that mujahada is good for you. You don't even have to make mujahada every, you know, all of the time. In fact, you're not supposed to. In fact, you can't. If you do, you'll kill yourself if you struggle all the time. I mean, Nicholson literally translates mujahada as self-mortification. It means like killing yourself. You kill yourself little by little, you know. Some parts of us should be dead. Some parts of the nafs should be dead. Some parts of the nafs will never die, because with them they'll cause your physical death as well. But they need to be kept in check. They should be like 85% dead, 15% just like left lingering around, just so you don't physically kill yourself, which is haram. But the idea is, at least in your mind, accept, you know, hug and make friends with the concept of mujahada. Not because you kill yourself, but because that's what will give you life. That's the, you know, إن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله. This portion of the ayah, it's not about rocks, right? Indeed, there are from rocks that which springs gush forth from them. And from rocks are those that split open and some water comes out of them, and from rocks there are those that will fall from their places due to the fear of Allah. I read in a paper, an academic wrote one time, that one of the Zahiris said, well, we know from this verse that rocks can also fear Allah Ta'ala, for which he was roundly and widely mocked, because the ayah is not about rocks. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو شد قسوة. Allah Ta'ala is talking about like all of these things that Banu Israel, by the way, all the stories of Banu Israel, it's not for us to like laugh and say, oh, look at the Yehud, right? Yeah, okay, look at the Yehud, fine. But at the same time, the point is that people from this ummah will do all the stupid things that other people before us did. تلك الأمة قد خلت. That those ummah, they've passed already. لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. He says they have what they earned, and you will get what you earn. The point is, you don't be stupid and don't do the same stuff. And you're not going to be asked about what they did. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, like, you know, there's this whole story about the Baqarah and like all of this kind of really whack stuff that happened, really messed up stuff that happened, that shows like the hardness of the hearts. Allah Ta'ala says that then your hearts hardened, so, and they became like rocks or even harder. And then he said, what? But some rocks, there are still, even from rocks, there are some rocks, you'll see springs come out from rock. Right? Part of Zamzam is like that. The Zamzam itself is sand, but underneath it, apparently there are like several rivers that converge in that one place that run through like solid rock. at points in order to supply water to that place. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. And indeed from rocks there are some from which rivers flow. And from rocks there are some that break and water gushes through them. That there is these spiritual things, they have an effect on them. And from rocks there are those that will fall from the place that they're in out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah is not about rocks. The point is this, is that you make friends with the with the fear of Allah Ta'ala, you make friends with this mujahada, you keep making effort, keep making effort, keep making effort. I promise you, the one who has never cried when hearing the Quran, a tear will come to your eye. I promise you, the one who has never been moved to righteousness, you will be moved to righteousness. I promise you, the one who is the slave of your addictions, you will be able to fight your addictions. You'll be able to get up and have courage and fight with them and struggle against them and even maybe win. The person who struggles with themselves, you will. If you're an idiot, Allah will give you knowledge. The person who struggles with themselves, even if you're weak, Allah will give you strength, physical strength, mental, every type of strength. The person who your hifz is not going well, Allah Ta'ala will help you memorize. The person who you're not able to affect and change people, you will change them. Anything you want, you have to do it through mujahada. Just like if you want it in the physical realm, just like that you have to do it in the spiritual realm as well. The hatred of this thing, and people hate it, like they run away from it like they like a normal person would run from death. This is one of the worst qualities that a person can have inside of themselves. This is what has emptied this room and emptied many other rooms in which people should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hatred of this thing is what's filled up casinos and what's filled up bars and what's filled up places of heedlessness, wherever they are. And from the places of heedlessness, some of them are like obviously things that like open haram happens, and some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, our own homes or our own even religious gatherings at times. But what happens is nobody wants to have that buzz broken. But the idea is that mujahada, look at, we're going to fast tomorrow, our first fast, inshallah. What is it? It's mujahada. We prayed these 20 rak'ahs. Man, it's long, right? Right? I was like, rak'ah 3, I'm like, this is going to be a really long night. But we got through it, alhamdulillah, right? And what happens is that, you know, people like me, I'm very frank, it's going to be a long night. And then what happens, though, somewhere in the middle, though, you get to a point where you feel like this is like so beautiful, like I wish this went on, forever. But the problem is if you don't learn how to like keep yourself solid and firm and not run away because of your cowardice and your fear, when you have that first jilt of like, oh my God, it's going to be a long night, how are you going to get anywhere? So inshallah, we plan on taking some time to remember the virtues of mujahada, and to remember the great mujahideen in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this ummah. People say, well, jihad here refers to jihad and nafs. By they're all the same thing. You don't tell me you're going to like, a man will one day pick up a sword or a Kalashnikov or God knows how it's going to go down, and they're going to fight the Dajjal who has like superhuman powers. And they're, you know, they're going to be like, oh, look, you're going from the jihad asghar to the jihad akbar to the jihad. No. Your jihad, that's going to be big jihad enough, you know, for a person even to keep their hands like steady and not like drop whatever is in their hand at that time and soil themselves and like wet their pants. That's all of it is together. All of it is the same thing. You tap into the same place and you get the result one way or the other, whether it has to be with working up the courage to speak the truth, whether it has to be with having the courage to give up some part of the dunya in order to please Allah Ta'ala, whether it's the courage you have to, you know, fight some sort of like weird satanic demon monster with like miraculous and magical seeming powers, or anything in between or on the sides of any of that. It's the same mujahada a person has to do. It starts inside and then it manifests itself and takes color and takes form based on whatever Allah wants for a person to do at that time. And we will discuss it forthrightly and without embarrassment and without fear, because we don't advocate bad things and we don't advocate like senseless violence or all this other nonsense, but we'll talk about it. We're not going to run away from it, inshallah. It's a part of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and it seems to be the order of the day, of the hour. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.